I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Art Cop Radio Show 116. A little different this time. I did some reverse engineering, found out I got 3 minutes to do the opener and the closer, so I got to hurry. Two main parts of the show. First part, I debate with Randy Rhodes. I'll let you decide who won. Second part, I beat up a flying monkey so bad that I almost felt sorry for him at the end. But don't fall for it, because he deserves every bit of it. All right, shout out to Chinoco. And boy, this is good stuff. Here comes the show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Not sure when you're going to hear this, but let's say it's a Monday, so probably April 30th. A hysterical former pillar wrote in, screaming about he's got a lot of problems with Hillary. And hey, that's okay. If you got a lot of problems with Hillary, don't vote for her. So in his long and very hot rant, he told me that Randy wiped the floor with Hillary concerning her debate performance, and I kind of doubt that happened. I mean, Randy is great. Randy's the best I've ever seen at grabbing facts and figures out of the air and pummeling you in a debate, but she is fallible. Remember, Randy's the one that told us that Kerry was going to win for sure by a landslide in 06, and she was saying that pretty close to the election, which I couldn't believe because Kerry was behind and losing and not fighting, so yeah, that's a guaranteed disaster, but so let's hear what she had to say about Ms. Clinton.
But right now, I wanted to point out some of the mistakes that I think our nominees are making. One of those mistakes is Hillary cannot keep saying that if she knew now what she didn't know then, she wouldn't have voted this way. It doesn't pass the smell test, and people are going to point that out.
Okay, that's a fair enough primary charge, we'll call that. But, you know, you can't stop there, because I could walk up to any product or any person or anything in the world. I could walk up to a can of Coke and say, it doesn't pass the smell test. And at that point, you'd say, well, explain yourself. What do you mean? So let's hope Randy does that. Let's hope she explains. And the idea that is she calling Hillary a liar? Is she saying that can't be the real reason? We must hear the real reason? Maybe she'll be more clear as we go on.
They're going to say to her, there's going to be commercials.
23 of Senator Clinton's colleagues in the U.S. Senate, Mr. Akaka.
And they'll go through them in alphabetical order.
Knew not to vote for this war. What was Hillary's problem?
And the attacks will come from the left, and they will come from the right.
Well, of course, she is correct when she says the attacks will come from the left. And obviously, the super slimy attacks will come from the right. But is that a valid argument? I don't know the exact totals, but we had 48 people in the Senate at the time, and she said 23 people knew not to vote for it, which kind of makes me think 24 or 25 did vote for it. Now, how do you take almost an exactly split 50-50 group and say, what is wrong with that side? This side knew how to vote, so the other side must be either lying or insane, or could it be there was a difference of opinion? It seems that we can't avoid talking about this for the next 15 months. That's not where I want to go. And I still don't have an answer to that question. The people who forgave Kerry for voting that way will not forgive Hillary, even though they voted the same day. The facts are still the facts. The votes are still the votes. And history is still history. But for some reason, it was okay in 2004 to make the giant blunder. But in 2008, we're not going to put up with that. No, no, no. But it's not like Hillary is today making the mistake that was made in 2002 or 2003, whenever the vote was taken. If I ask a question and nobody can answer the question, that means there's a chance I'm right. Not always right, but when I say, why do you forgive Kerry and not Hillary? If you can't answer that question, maybe you're holding Hillary to a higher standard. It's a maybe, it's a theory. If you can't answer my question, I'm going to have to fill in the blank with something, so I have a theory. But just to summarize my position so far, because this is dangerous, I'm debating Randy Rhodes here. That's a dangerous mother-effing thing to do, so I'm going to be careful. So far, the thrust of her argument seems to be that the 25 are going to have to explain why they voted different from the 23. With the advantage of 5 years hindsight, yeah, we can all be 23s now, but who's to say that the 25s had no legitimate position at the time? Again, didn't hold us back from voting for Kerry.
She's got to come up with a sincere, honest explanation.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, she just called Hillary insincere and dishonest. She didn't use those exact words, but she's saying, instead of what you're telling us, you got to come up with something sincere and honest and explain yourself, which is, I think, a leap. When you call someone else a liar, you got to be careful. You can't, you know, if I like red cars and you like blue cars, you're not a liar. We disagree. We have different opinions on what color cars we like. So I like Jimmy Page. You like Ted Nugent? Well, bad example because that makes you crazy. But I'm just saying, you got 48 people in the Senate. The vote was mostly pretty much split down the middle, and the 25 are dishonest. Don't think it holds water, but let's continue.
And I don't care if, you know, it could be something as honest as, look, I saw what happened to the people who voted no, and quite frankly, Paul Wellstone and his whole freaking family are dead. She could totally go there. She could say, you know, it's just a little creepy to me that Patrick Leahy voted no, and the next thing you know, him and Brokaw getting anthrax.
Wow. Did she really go there? Depending on how you phrase the question, Hillary is either the most powerful woman in the United States politically or the second most powerful. Obviously, at this moment, Nancy Pelosi has a higher rank, maybe, I suppose, than Hillary does, but Nancy Pelosi will never be president. But right now, you ask anybody with a reputation, tell them to put $100 on it, and they will bet that Hillary is going to be the next president. So the advice that Randy has for Hillary is, instead of the wacky story you're telling, I think the most powerful woman in the United States should say, I voted for the war because I thought Bush was going to kill me if I didn't. Is that what Randy just said? I think it is. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize. But hey, all you got to do is hit the rewind to see what Randy said. And I think what she said was crazy. She must not have meant that. She must have just had some kind of mental brain fart or something there, because she just advised Hillary to say, I voted for the war to save my life and I suppose my family's life. And she can't be serious. You didn't go there, Randy. You just didn't go there, because that's crazy. Even if it's true to some degree, yeah, you know, with this crowd, you got to watch out. She's had to live down that vast right-wing conspiracy all these years, which is true. Ted Olson and, you know, all the people that are working for Bush, they all work for Paula Jones. So how is that not a conspiracy? After living down the vast right-wing conspiracy, she wants the next president of the United States to say, I had to vote for that war or Bush was going to kill me. Randy, you've lost your marbles at least for a few seconds here. You could not have possibly meant that. Let's also remember that Hillary's vote meant nothing. Well, if it came down to 49-49 and hers was the last vote and she said, we're going to war, then I think you could put some of this blame on her. But, you know, she looks around, she sees Biden and Kerry and whatever other war hawks are in the Democratic Party voting to give the president permission to use force if necessary. All right, she could have easily voted the way she did because that's what she thought was the best thing to do. If she was 50-50 and just couldn't decide how to vote, and someone pointed out, you know, if you vote against this war, you're going to be the Hillary Fonda. You're going to be the lady that can't be trusted with this country's military. You're going to be the crazy woman, the most radically leftist woman of all times, and you can attack her for getting herself elected if that is important to you. So let's get back to Randy.
Give us a real explanation. Tell us that, you know, until you have Secret Service details protecting you and your children again, you're not going to feel safe in this country to make hard decisions like saying to the president,
no.
No.
It's times like this when I wish the old Bark Cop Radio was interactive, because I would say, is there anybody out there who thinks that's a winning strategy? Forget whether or not it might be true. I don't think it is. I don't think Hillary would be murdered if she voted against this war. Isn't that crazy? Do you agree with me that that sounds crazy? We'll try to phrase it that way. That she's seriously telling Hillary that she thinks Hillary should say, I wanted to vote against this war, but I couldn't because Bush would have me killed. Is that really what Randy Rhodes meant to say? I mean, those are her words. I haven't twisted anything. I'd be a damn fool to twist something Randy Rhodes said to try to score some points and then have this tape get back to her, have her play it on her radio show and make the monkey out of me. No, I'm treading very carefully here. I don't think she's going to hear this, but if she did, I would sure like to get her to explain herself. When is that? I don't even know under what context. You know, if you're afraid to testify against the mob, maybe you might say, I'm sorry, I can't do it because they'll kill me if I do. I mean, there is maybe a time and a place for that accusation, but for the next president, my words, of the United States saying I can't because they'll kill me, I'm afraid? Randy, what happened to your senses? You've lost them, girl, just on this one point. And I think I heard Randy say she's going to vote for the Democrat, whoever it is. I think I heard that. I don't want to put words in her mouth, but, you know, that's part of the problem here. People like Arianne Huffington and Daily Kos and a whole lot of other people, they have not responded to the question, or they have not heard me ask the question, are you going to support the Democratic nominee in 2008 for president? Now, see, that's a trap. You know, I'm known for my traps. I can build a trap as good a sumbitch as anybody. But the trap is, if you're going to eventually vote for Hillary, then why are you leading the charge to screw her today? That's the trap there. And if you're not going to vote for Hillary, if you're not going to vote for the Democratic nominee, well, then who are you to tell me how to vote? If you're going to end up voting for Ralph Nader, you know, God rest her soul, Molly Ivins, it's my opinion. I think I remember in 2000 and 2004, I think both times she said, I didn't vote for the Democrat. And so that made me wince a little bit when she starts explaining, you know, ranking the Democrats. This one's good. This one's not so good. This one's pretty bad. But wait, if you're not going to vote for them, why are you giving me advice? But like I said, I think her position is that she is going to support the front runner. So now see what she's kind of caught in here is she's going to vote for president, for somebody that had to be afraid for her life to be one of 100 votes in the Senate. Not sure that makes a lot of sense. It holds a lot more water than the people, you know, going out of their way. I think Randy's making just a simple mistake here. Maybe this was the first thing that popped into her head when the subject came up and she went with it. And once she said it, you know, it's cat's out of the bag. Can't go back on live radio and say, wait, I'm sorry. I'm crazy. Where was my head? Erase the last 5 minutes because I couldn't have meant that. I don't know why she's taking a position, but how in the world could anybody take the position? Yeah, I want to vote for the person who was afraid to vote their heart or their mind. That's just such a loser on every level. Randy must have not gotten her Wheaties this morning.
Or tell them that, listen, I take money from the military-industrial complex and I got to throw them a little bit of a bone.
Wow, she said that too? Randy, I got a feeling that your advice for Mrs. Clinton is not sincere. I'm not sure is this a comedy bit we're hearing? Or are you saying this to make some kind of point? Because, okay, you've advised her to say, I can't vote the way I wanted to. I can't vote the way the people who elected me from New York wanted me to vote because Bush might kill me. And if that doesn't work, say, well, hey, I got to throw the military-industrial complex a bone, so we're going to throw 3,500 lives at it, see what happens, just kind of as a lark. Maybe it's my lying ears, but it sounds to me like Randy's making no sense at all. Maybe I hear a lot of Randy's, and maybe she's got some deep hatred for Hillary of which I'm not aware. I don't think Hillary's ever been on the show, at least not that I know of. Just as a rule, she doesn't attack Hillary. She's definitely not the usual suspects that, you know, attack Hillary all day, all night, again and again, over and over. She's not one of those, but maybe something happened recently. Back to Randy.
Whatever it is, just tell the freaking truth. The truth will set you free. But this BS of I didn't know ain't going to cut it, because you want a commander-in-chief that knew when there's obvious evidence that 126 Democrats in the House and 23 in the Senate, that's almost half a quarter of the Senate.
And I would like to get the question to Randy, but I can't. She's too big for me. But why did she forgive Kerry in 2004 if she can't forgive Hillary in 2007? It makes no sense. Someone needs to answer the question. You give one guy a pass, and you tell the other one, no, stop. You know, you can't do that. If you go to a restaurant, and a guy walks in with a T-shirt and torn jeans, and he walks in, sits down, and then you walk up with T-shirt and torn jeans, and I say, no, you can't come in here. You got T-shirt and torn jeans. Well, hey, explain yourself. See that guy sitting right there? You let him walk right in. But you're holding me back? I need a reason. I need an explanation of why you are, I think they call that selective enforcement. I hate it when I have a question that I think's pretty good, and everybody I can reach says, gee, I don't know, Bart, you might have a point, but I just can't reach the bigger people. Frustration.
It's a quarter of the House and a quarter of the Senate. That's a big 25%. That's a lot of people new to saying no to this. I knew to say no to this. Did I go to the Senate and pick their brains? You bet I did.
We know this is my first debate with Randy, and so she doesn't know that a lot of this has been, and she doesn't know that a lot of this has been said before. But she's saying, why didn't Hillary realize that the 25% was correct? I mean, we'll take it for granted. Half the Senate voted with the monkey just because they'll do anything he says, no matter what. Like Abraham, slay your first child. Okay, that's what kind of Senate we had. That's what kind of House we had until this last election, 2006. So we're left with the sane half of the Senate. A little more than half voted for war. Almost a half of the Democrats voted not. She's demanding that the majority explain themselves to the minority. And I'm not sure that makes any sense. Does it make sense to you, the listener, that the majority should explain to the minority how they knew they were right all along? It just doesn't make any sense.
I went to the Intelligence Committee, where my senator happened to be a member at the time. It was Bob Graham of Florida, who's a brilliant guy. He was a great governor of Florida. He voted no, and I thought, well, if it's good enough for the I talked to Carl Levin.
Well, now we're about to get a long list of all the people who voted against the war, and they're described as the honest people, the smart people, the people with brains, the people that did their homework, et cetera, and on. But, you know, Hillary wasn't, like, cleaning septic tanks during this time. She was on the Armed Services Committee. And I don't know, does the Intelligence Committee know more about the coming war than the Armed Services Committee? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But she's painting Graham out to be the man who knew all. And, I still got that same problem. If he knew for a fact, you know, pick out any kind of subject in the world. If I know for a fact that something's wrong, I'm going to stand up and scream. But Bob Graham didn't do that. And why? That's another one. Why can't I get an answer on that? People say, well, Bob Graham knew. Well, why didn't he say so? Why didn't he stand up and say, listen to me. You've got to listen to me. This is a mistake. This is a tragic mistake. Thousands of men are going to die. Maybe 100,000 Iraqis are going to die. We're going to lose billions. We're going to be unprepared for the next hurricane. We cannot do this. Would you listen to me? But he didn't say that. If he did, I didn't hear it. Not once, not ever. So we're going to go through this list here about this. Completely, totally, absolutely wise and smart and experienced. I mean, you know, as though Hillary and Bill are two bumpkins that can't figure politics out. That's another thing. You have to have a big ego to be on the radio, to be a web personality, to have a web page and all. You have to have an ego. You just do. And so I don't mind. Randy can have as big an ego as she wants. But is her ego to the point where she knows more about politics than Bill Clinton? That just would strike me as funny. That'd be not quite a great analogy, but it'd be like me telling some soldier what combat's like. She can give advice to a whole lot of Democrats. God knows they need it. But for her to explain to Hillary how she's screwing up and she can't get to the White House without Randy's help, I'm just thinking that's a little off the hinge there. The only guy since FDR to win it twice is her primary advisor in her bed. So, yeah, they're kind of close. You think Bill's going to let her make mistakes that are going to knock her out of the White House or the race for the White House? Randy seems to think that Bill Clinton doesn't know what he's doing. I wouldn't want to handle that side of that debate. Nothing against you, Randy, if you end up hearing this. But personally, I think Clinton knows more about politics than you do and how to stay away from the landmines, what to be sure and say, what to be sure and not say. Just my opinion. We're two people on the same side. I just think you've gone a little nuts on this one subject, on this one day. Oh, and one other thing I forgot to say earlier. Randy said after they voted for the war, Leahy and Tom Brokaw got anthrax. Now, I'm pretty sure the anthrax scare was right after 9/11. Wasn't that in October of 01, October, November, in that range? Maybe there were multiple anthrax attacks, and I'm somehow lumping them all together in my brain, but the way Randy put up the timeline, you vote against this war, you get anthraxed. And I think those are at least a year or two apart. And you, the listener, may know more about the anthrax timeline, but Randy seems to be making some mistakes on this subject. Maybe the idea of President Hillary has got her rattled and she's off her ball, as my boss Mindy used to say, but she doesn't seem to be at the top of her game on this subject.
Carl Levin did not agree that there was weaponized anthrax over there. He didn't agree that there was a chemical belt around Baghdad. He didn't believe that there were the cartoons were good enough proof to prove that there were mobile laboratories. I mean, you know, I met with everybody. John Corzine, who's one of the most brilliant men. He's difficult because he's so freaking smart. But that's what you want. You want smart, tough people who, in the end, are fair and do the right thing. Corzine did the right thing. He voted no.
Well, no, wait. As we look back, we can say he did the right thing. But I hope Randy's not saying it is always wrong to vote to go to war. When you say he voted the right way, he voted not to go to war. He voted against the war the right way. Well, against the war is not always the right way. We don't know if she means that just this one time or if war is bad. If I don't think Randy was in the Air Force. I don't know if that turned her into a war is bad person. And don't get me wrong, I know war is bad. But if Russian tanks cross the Rio Grande, is war bad? I say no.
Leahy voted no. The independent from Vermont, James Jeffers, he voted no. Feingold voted no. Dick Durbin of Illinois, Heartland people. Russell Feingold, Wisconsin, Heartland people, voted no. Patty Murray, who's been the most amazing person on troops, you know, she voted no. I mean, come on, these are people from the middle of the country. They knew.
Is this argument making sense to you? That if you're from the middle of the country, you're smarter, wiser, have better instincts? And if she is saying that, is she forgetting that Hillary grew up in Chicago and then was first lady of Arkansas for 14 years, 12 years. I enjoy Randy's hammer when she's giving it to the bad guys, but I'll let you decide. Is she making sense here? That the salt of the earth people, the Dick Durbin, the people from the heartland, what, are they not as conniving and scheming as the evil Hillary? Is that where she's going? Is she saying the people from New York and Florida and California aren't wise, can't make good decisions? Is she making sense? I'll ask you. You know, after she tells you that Leahy, oh no, he's one of them Northeasters. You know, he voted for it and some people from the Midwest. She makes it sound so obvious that obviously it was the right thing to do, obviously. When it's easy to say that now, and if it was easy to say that then why didn't they? Did Durbin stand up and say, we cannot do this, this is a tragic mistake that'll tear the country apart and we just can't do it? Did Patty Murray, did Levin, did Feingold, did any of them stand up and say, I got a feeling if any senator calls Russert and says, I'm about to explode, I'm going to go crazy, I've got to come on your show because I'm going to go crazy, I got to stop this war, whatever it takes. If I lose my career, if I lose every dime I have, if I lose everything, I don't care. Tim, you got to give me 5 minutes, no matter what, you got to. I got a feeling Russert's going to do that. If he's... You tell Russert you got a bomb, you know, a rhetorical bomb to set off, I think he's going to let you on. You know, there's people back, for instance, when Monica was blowing up. Her attorney was hit 5 shows in the same day. And if you've got something to say, that's what you can do. If you're just Johnny Milktoast and you're just going to say, well, gee, hard to say to every question. Well, yeah, you're going to make a bad guess. You're not going to get on any shows. But if you say, this nation is about to go off a cliff, and I apparently am the only one who sees that, so I've got to get on, I've got to get in front of a camera, I've got to get, you know, to anyone with a microphone or a camera, I've got to get on there and scream, this is a mistake. Did anybody do that? You're the listener. You're the judge here. Can you send me links from people back then? Don't send me links from 2006, 2007, but show me back then, and don't send me a link that says, I believe it's not wise. I believe it's a mistake. No, that's not what you say when everybody knows that this is a big, giant screw-up. You set your hair on fire is the phrase they use these days. When you set your hair on fire, that means you're just creating the biggest ruckus in the world. And did anybody do that? I don't remember anybody doing that. All right, hey, I got a new tack for you. All these senators who knew for a fact, did any of them stand up and say, I'm going to filibuster this whole war? No, they didn't, because it wasn't worth the price of a filibuster. It wasn't worth causing a ruckus. Now, hey, I think I backed into something here. If they stood up and said, I'm calling for a filibuster, and they voted him down, which you can't do because you got to have 67 to vote him down. So all these senators who knew for a fact that this was tragedy number one, none of them thought to call for a filibuster, not even one. But it's so easy today to say, oh, it was so black and white, everybody could see it. That crazy LJBK, he said something like, every single person in the United States knew for a fact, and you did too, Bart, so quit lying. I mean, that's just insane talk. And I hate to see insane talk coming from people I know, my friends and my heroes like Randy Rhodes here. If it was so obvious, where was the filibuster? Somebody show me the filibuster. And if you're going to say, oh, they couldn't because the Republicans didn't use the nuclear option against them, well, then apparently it wasn't very important. If going into an illegal world war that we're going to lose is so obvious, but it wasn't worth raising your hand and saying the F word? I think we stumbled onto some proof there.
How in the hell did Hillary not know? This is what I'm saying. You know, we've got to get to a point where our candidates feel free to tell the real story. There's obviously a real story behind her vote. We need to know what it is.
Okay, now there's a trick that lawyers use in a trial, in a big trial, a murder trial. If you stand up and say, he was a madman. I thought he was drunk. I'm pretty sure he had a gun in his pocket, and it was obvious violence was about to happen. It was so obvious to everybody in the room. It would be disingenuous for anybody to say they couldn't see it coming. And then you say, did you call the police? Well, no. Well, why didn't you? You just said it was the most obvious violent thing in the whole world. Everybody could see it. Why didn't you call the police? Well, I just didn't. You know, and the real reason is you didn't call the police because at the time it didn't look that obvious. But sure, once the guy pulls the gun out and starts shooting the place up, well, yeah, everybody could see it coming, but did they see it enough to call the police? And don't make this into a Cho thing, because that Cho guy at Virginia Tech, they saw that he was crazy enough, and they called, I don't know if they called the police or the university, somehow he was sent to two psychiatrists, and they decided he was not a problem. But when Randy says, obviously Hillary knew, and obviously she's lying about it, and she better tell the truth if she wants to win. If those 23 senators knew for a fact, then why didn't the 23 of them get together and say, all 23 of us are filibustering this thing? But if they chose not to filibuster, then it, at the time, wasn't worth it. Tell me where I'm wrong. But I just don't think you can, because if someone did filibuster, then I would know about that, because they would have had to convince him to withdraw the filibuster, because they don't have 67 votes to shut him down. It pains me to see Randy veer away so far from logic to try to make this point that Hillary is dishonest and insincere. She's having to really, really stretch things. And to kind of make it a little bit worse, she's acting like it is so obvious. Well, sure, it's obvious now, but if it was so obvious then, why didn't they use the filibuster? Somebody explain that to me. That's your assignment for today. If it was so obvious to everybody, then why didn't they use the filibuster? Why didn't they shut down this obvious massacre about to happen? And the reason they didn't is because it wasn't obvious back then. Can we just stick to the facts? Can we just stick to the truth? If someone hates Hillary, fine. Convince your friends not to vote for her, and someone else is going to be president. But if you have to manufacture, and I'm not, this is not an accusation, but if one has to manufacture a different history than what we remember, than what we can prove, then maybe they don't have quite the grasp on things that they think they have.
I'm one of those conscious artists talking that change the world shit again. Say, I might be just a bit too dramatic / overzealous about what I see as the human spirits dive into uncertainty. Say what you like. Say what you like, 'cause I'll be all
those things you say all night and all day before I allow myself and soul to wither away into indistinctness. Live a half-life of blissful ignorance. Never take another chance. Do the latest dance with the devil.
What I want to do is deauthorize it. Unless you want to create an extremist Shia hegemony from the Mediterranean Sea to the Indian Ocean, then there isn't
a
military
solution.
Steve, I got a
question. Is it wrong for the leader of the Democrats in the United States Senate to declare that we've lost a war?
I'm not a soldier, never been a soldier. Really don't even know any soldiers except the ones I met online. But don't you think they'd rather be told the truth? Surely the troops know after 4 years, we've gotten nowhere. We've gotten 3,400 dead, but we've gotten nothing. We've gained nothing. Surely the troops on the ground know that. Do they want to be lied to? Do they want to have McCain walk up and say, we're winning? And they're thinking, well, I've been sitting in the same foxhole for 4 years. What have we won? I've lost a lot of friends. I've seen a lot of friends leave here with body parts missing. And you're telling us we're winning? Well, you know, if we were taking town after town like in World War II, if we landed on the beach in France and worked our way into Paris and then worked our way farther into parts east, then yeah, I can see a sacrifice. But, you know, they take Karbala one day, and then the next day they go take Fallujah. Meanwhile, we lose Karbala. Then they're in Fallujah, and they go to Mosul, and then we take Mosul, and we lose Fallujah. What have we gained here? All we're doing is throwing men in the meat grinder. So to answer your question, Mr. Hannity, I think Harry Reid did the right thing. He's told the truth. The truth is always the enemy of the Republican Party and the Bush administration.
Do you not see how demoralizing that is to the troops? Do you not see that?
Absolutely
that's wrong?
Not. I've heard that
you
from
don't?
Troops over and no, I've heard that from troops over and over again. They say they are being very ill.
I talk to the troops every day.
By
there's
the
not one that has ever said anything
country.
Like that to me in any way, shape, matter, or form here.
And the Bush-Cheney administration had no plan in Iraq except to enrich their cronies after the removal of Saddam
enrich,
Hussein.
And how did they do that, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist?
With unmetered oil wells, obviously. It's been 4 years plus. There are still no meters on any of the oil pumps. Iraq kicks out between 2 and 5 million barrels a day. Latest I heard, oil is at $65 a barrel. Let's reach a little bit. Let's call it 5 million barrels a day. Get my calculator out here. 5 million barrels times $65 a barrel. That's $325 million a day. That's what, $2 billion a week. $2 billion a week is missing, and Hannity wants to know where the conspiracy theorist gets his facts. It's called math. Is math a conspiracy theory? It's the second or third biggest oil producer in the world, and there's no meters on it. You got a bank here with no accounting in the vault. The second biggest bank in the world, and there's no accounting slips. There's no withdrawal slips. There's no balance sheet. There's no records. The second biggest bank in the world. That's just what we have here.
How are you going to find out, Mr. Conspiracy?
Open your damn eyes. That's how you find out. How many millions of dollars a year does Hannity get paid to lie? That'd be a good question to find out. Sean, we'll give you $1 million a year, but we'll give you $3 million if you lie. We'll give you $5 million a year if you lie like a crazy man, and we'll give you $10 million a year if you lie like a Bush. Well, I could use $10 million a year. Sure, I'll say any goddamn thing you tell me to say. That's Sean Hannity.
What billions and billions themselves? Of dollars spent. You could, if you were a Democrat,
how did they enrich themselves?
If you're a Democrat and
how
you
did
spoke
they enrich
Arabic
themselves,
and
Steve?
You wanted to help form a democracy in Iraq, you couldn't even get a job there.
You can't say,
Halliburton,
you know,
Bechtel,
Halliburton,
all the other companies.
How
that were
did the president enrich himself?
You know, it's too bad there are no Democrats in Washington that can speak or that can think, because we got an oil man and his oil man partner invaded a country for no reason. And now they control all this oil, and it's got no meters on it. And Hannity wants to know, you see a conspiracy there? Well, yeah. The oil men invaded an oil country for no reason and no meters. Yeah, that sounds like a crime to me. A big fucking giant crime, but nobody will say that.
Could I just mention at this point that Halliburton is losing money in Iraq?
I doubt that's true, but even if it is. If U2 puts out a bad record and nobody buys even a single copy, is U2 a money-losing band? No, it doesn't work that way. All the money they've made all the years, They've put so many billions, hundreds of billions in the bank. Yeah, that's what I would do if I was them. Say, oh, we're losing money. We're bugging out. A smart crook knows when to stop stealing. You know, I'm always amazed by these people who steal and they steal and they steal and they get, you know, we talked about this before, that movie Blow. Johnny Depp had so much money. They would have a box of money in their hands and there was no place to put it down in the entire house because all around the house there was boxes stacked with $100 bills on top of boxes stacked with $100 bills on top of boxes on top of boxes. There was millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in cash in this guy's house. Did he quit and retire and live the good life? No. He wanted to make more money. A smart crook, once you get to, oh, I don't know, maybe $500 billion, yeah, maybe it's time to quit stealing, declare we lost, and get out with your $500 billion. That's what Halliburton did. Oh, they're losing money. Oh, poor Halliburton. Those poor bastards. Contract after contract. No bids, hundreds of billions of dollars. And if Bush did a bunch of deals off the records, well, hey, the terrorists win if we put it on the record. And the Democrats, of course, will buy this and say, whatever you need, sir.
And also, I just want to make sure all your viewers understand this is the Democrat position on national defense. We can only fight a war after 9/11 if no one gets hurt.
I'm talking
no
about
one can die. That
I want to go after Al-Qaeda.
Surrender.
I want to.
God, that might be the clearest example of criminally twisting someone's position that I've ever seen. We've got almost 4,000 dead, absolutely nothing to show for it besides an empty treasury and trillions in debt. McLaughlin says up to 60,000 wounded so bad they can't go back into battle, and we're losing the war. And Ann Coulter says our position is nobody can get hurt. I guess if you're a lying Nazi whore, that's all you can say. But I think decent Americans, fair Americans would say, since we've gained nothing, almost 4,000 dead, 60,000 injured badly, empty treasury, should we continue? I think a decent, honest, logical American would say no.